And at this time, as most of you know, we were gone this week for the funeral. So Cody, as I was gone, he stepped up to prepare and to present the message to us this morning. And so I hope you enjoy the word from Cody.
Nope. Good morning. Before I get started, I want to tell you how awesome it is to know that pastor gives a title to a message before a sermon, because that is the hardest thing of this last week of trying to do, and I'm not joking about that. I have gone through probably 13 different titles, and even now I'm thinking of a new title, but it's already on the screen, so I can't change it. And with that, will you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you for the love that you've given us. Pray, Lord, that you would be with us as we enter into this new year. Pray, Lord, that we would remember your gospel and remember what you've done for us. We thank you for your love. In your name we pray. Amen. So, obviously, it's January 1st, so Happy New Year. I hope you enjoyed time with family and friends, celebrating Christmas, and then even last night as we rang in the new year. But what do we do around this time of year? We are normally looking ahead to the changes and what's going to be new in this new year. That's kind of in the name, the new year. But if you're like most, at some point during this last week or today, you've started to look back at the last year, the changes. I think of myself and how I have changed jobs. I've even changed my address. Technically, I've changed my address twice in the last year, and how awesome it is to be here. But I want to ask you a question. What has stayed the same between last year and this year? I'll give you a minute to think about it. But what has not changed? No matter what happens in whatever happened last year and what will happen in the year to come, the never-changing fact is that being one of God's children is awesome. That will never change. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, as I read it for you again. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We hear of two positions in this verse. We hear of a son, and we hear of a slave. Now, we're going to talk about a slave here first. And it might be a little different than what you're thinking, because when we hear the word slave, we think of movies or modern history of America and how it was awful and completely just insane, the brutality that how they were treated. Now, back in this day, it was a little different. Now, I'm not saying people were lining up to be slaves. I'm not saying that. It wasn't this wonderful position that they had. But it's a lot closer to an employee than what we think of as a slave. It was more of a worker, a friend in some ways, but they were still a slave. We look at Genesis chapter 24, and in this chapter is Abraham sending his servant to go and find a wife for his son. Now, I'm telling you right now, if I had to send somebody to go find my future daughter-in-law, I'm not going to send somebody that is beaten constantly by me and is completely, like, hates me. Okay? He was more of an employee, and Abraham respected him, and his servant or slave respected Abraham. And he went willingly to go, and he did a good job. He was faithful. He could have ran off. He was traveling who knows how far. But he could have ran off. But he didn't, because he's more of an employee. The servants and slaves would work the fields. They would plow the ground. They would plant the seed. They would harvest. They'd also take care of the herd and the flocks that were owned by the father, by the master. They would work long, hard days out in the sun. It wasn't easy, but that was their job. But now we're going to look at the sun. Now, if we're being honest, when we think of a wealthy man who has an incredible business, and we think of his kids, what comes to mind for us is probably a spoiled or rich brat. Somebody who has no respect for anybody. And frankly, I don't want to talk to him. Why would anybody force their children to go and work in the field when you have a literal slave or a group of employees that can go and do the hard work? Now, I can't say this for every family in that day, but the culture was to not keep their sons from the hard labor. The sons would work the field, tend the herds, just like the servants. Galatians 4, the first part of verse 1 says, "I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave." If you would ride past on a horse and look out into the field and see them working, you could probably not tell the difference between the son and the slave working in the field. They were doing the same job. There wasn't, "Oh, I don't want to do that today," and pull the "I'm the son" rank. No, they did the work. It was hard work. It was intensive. And we have an example of this in the account of the prodigal son. Now, yes, we know the story of the prodigal son. The younger son takes the money, runs off. He wastes his money, and he runs out. He comes back, and the father welcomes him in. And then we know that the older brother returns to find the party. But what was the older son doing at that time? Was he out on a vacation? Was he out golfing? Luke 15, verse 25, it says, "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing." The son was out working in the field. And I'm not saying like doing chores around the house, like picking up leaves. The son was out in the fields with the servants and the slaves, doing the hard work. It was a hands-on approach. It wasn't, "Oh, you go do this. I'm going to hang out by the tree over here until the day is over." No, he was there with them. Now, you may be wondering, why in the world is there no difference? And why would you even want to be a son if you get treated like a slave anyways? You may be thinking, "I'm the son. I should be different than all those around me." And here's the thing that we may not always understand, is the son is different. The rest of chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Though he is the owner of everything." As a child, he is the owner of everything. He may be doing the same work as a slave, but even though he may be younger than the slaves, he owns the field that he's working in. He's not just a hired hand. He's not just doing this for a paycheck. He owns the land. It just hasn't happened yet. As soon as his father gives him his inheritance, He will own the field that his hands are working in. Imagine if you ran a business, or if you had a family farm, and your children wanted so desperately to take over the farm. Who are you going to give the farm to later in life, or maybe after you pass away? Are you going to give the farm to some random high schooler that worked there for a summer? Or is the farm going to go to your children? Because employees don't get inheritance. And the inheritance is reserved for the children. As hard as a slave works, they will never be anything more than a slave. It's not their birthright. There is no inheritance for a slave. And the inheritance for the children of God is eternal life. Now, we've already talked about earthly fathers and how earthly fathers give their inheritance to their children. But the same is true of the Heavenly Father. Slaves do not get the eternal life. The inheritance of that is only for the children of God. And we as humans, we are slaves to sin. And no matter how hard we work or all the good things we do, we will never break out of our sinfulness, which means we will never break out of being a slave. And frankly, there is no hope of being able to work our way out of that. There is no, oh, if I show up every day and do my best, maybe, just maybe, he'll notice that which I have done. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. There's nothing that you can do in your power because we are born outside of the inheritance. Every human is born into sin. And by being born into sin, being born into slavery, that puts us outside of the inheritance. And this is where we are left. We're left in the dark, enslaved to sin, hopeless, with no chance of us working our way to heaven. And then we read Galatians 4:4-7 again. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Humans are the only ones born under the law. So that means that when Jesus was born of Mary, he was human. And he came from heaven to earth. He took on human flesh for us to become our sacrifice. Jesus gave us his position, and he took ours. We are given a place in the family, not because of how hard we work or how incredible of a person we are. We are given a place in the family because of the blood that Jesus spilt. We have been reborn. There is no more us that was born under the sin. God has taken that. And God has given us his life, a life of freedom, not of bondage. Now, we are still on earth. That doesn't change once we become a child of God. But what changes is now we have the inheritance of God. You don't see the difference in our appearance. But as God works through us, you see the difference in how we act. I look out here and I see a group of humans. But how we act and how God has given us the power to do things in His name, that is what's different. If you were to ride past a group of non-believers and believers and put them side by side, and they were just standing there, you would not be able to tell the difference. But those that are children of God have inherited eternal life. And when the time of the inheritance comes, it will show that there is a huge difference. But it's not because of anything we did. God does not see the slaves anymore. He sees His Son. Because Jesus had to be treated like a slave so that us, the slaves, could be treated like Jesus, to be treated like a son and given the inheritance. We can trust in the inheritance of the eternal life because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's not based on really anything that we have done other than realize that we can't do it and trust in the one that did. Jesus has set us free. And it says in John chapter 8, verse 36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And as you go out into this new year, with all of the changes to come, I ask you to remember the things that never change. That being a part of God's family is the most incredible thing to ever strive for. But to remember that we can't strive for it. It's a gift given to us. And to remember the blood that God has shed so that we could be part of His family. And I want you to remember how awesome it is to be loved by the Father as a son and not as a slave. Would you bow your heads with me? God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love. We thank you for sending your Son to redeem us, the slaves, that no matter what we could do, we were never good enough. But that's why you came. We thank you for your love. Pray that you'd be with us as we go out. Pray that you keep us safe and give us strength to tell others about what you have done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.